Praise the Lord, brother. Thank you. If I'm not mistaken, I know that, brother. I'm not too familiar. I think I did. Hallelujah. You face familiar, brother. Hallelujah. Some of you also, of course, hallelujah, but later on I'll talk to brother. Psalm 23, right now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. I like to start out by saying all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, reproof, and also for instruction in righteousness. Allow me to do all that this morning if you have to have need of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Like you, Pastor, already told you that we are bringing a message from the book. I may not bring it the way you like to hear it, but I can't help that. Hallelujah. I have to bring it the way God told me to bring it. Hallelujah. There was once a little story about a boy that had a kitten. He took the kitten in his hand and gave him a nice rubbing, but he rubbed him from the tail to the head. And I want you to know that old poor kitten had an awful time because you caused a static electricity in a cat's fur. You know that when you rub them from the tail to the head. And that poor thing had such an awful time it couldn't get away and it was so miserable. Finally, one of those people looking at the boy, he said, "Boy, listen, you have to learn something." He said, "That kitten is miserable the way you rub him." He said, "Oh?" He said, "Well, there's nothing wrong with my rubbing. If the cat don't like it, let him turn around." And that's the way I'll tell you, for if you don't like it, you just turn around. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is that all right? Say praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I want to know whether it is you or something. In other words, it is a personal relationship I'll be talking about this morning. It's a very personal relationship. It does not say the Lord is my father's shepherd, or the Lord is my husband's shepherd, or the Lord is my wife's shepherd, or the Lord is my children's shepherd, or the Lord is someone else's shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. And brother, God wants you to be his sheep. Now, God wants to make very sure that it is a personal thing. Even though your wife is very, very faithful and holy, you, husband, cannot come in, sliding in on the behind your wife, and while she's having a nice talk with Jesus, you slipping in there. It won't work. Hallelujah. And you, husbands and wives that are together, you cannot sneak your kid in. If he's not born again, he's not going to go there. Hallelujah. And that's why I say, fathers and mothers, don't protect the kids from the ministry. Don't keep the youngsters away from God's Word. Don't let, when Brother Rutt lets you, Pastor, is trying to shake some sense in that little one, don't you come there and say, "Well, you better not talk to me, little Janie, because if Calamity Jane was here, she would tell you, I wish I had a better upbringing." Hallelujah. Sometimes we have a lot of Jesse James that never had to be train robbers if there was a difference in upbringing. Hallelujah. And a lot of people today, they shelter the kids from the spiritual parental correction because they feel that that little boy is a little different than the other little kids. No, we all born a bunch of devils, let's face it. We all born in sin and we all shapen in iniquity. You too, sir. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So there is no difference tonight. This morning we all have sin and come short of the glory of God. And if you're not born of water and spirit, you go to hell like any other dog will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We're not here to have a religious service. You find it in the funeral chapels this week, where you have a religious service with a corpse in front. But we don't have a corpse because we serve a living Jesus. Say praise the Lord. Be serving a living Lord that will say amen and he would be here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. It speaks of ownership. Now remember, the shepherd in Palestine was not hired. That were hirings. But the shepherd owned the sheep. The shepherd owned the sheep. They were his personal property. So when you say, the Lord is my shepherd, you claim to be the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. They claim to be the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, ye are bought with a price. Hallelujah. Did the Bible say that? Ye are bought with a price. Hallelujah. Therefore, glorify you, your God, in your body. Hallelujah. Be therefore no servants of anybody. When the Lord has bought you, then you belong to Him and you obey Him without belly aching. Are you hearing me? Amen. To us, too many religious people that like to be God's sheep from 10 to 12 Sunday morning. They like to be considered God's sheep when the rapture will take place. They like to be God's sheep when it comes to being on the membership roll for voting the pastor out. Hallelujah. They like to be on the membership roll when there is something to be settled on which they have no need to know. But they don't want to live it between services. They don't want to live a holy, separated life as you sheep are to. No, they like to live it the way they feel like their conscience tells them. Brother, your conscience stinks. Your conscience is rotten, lady. Because the Bible says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and that includes yours. You may not like it, but please lump it. I'm telling you the truth. Too many people today, they want to have a nice, religious, smooth service where nothing is ruffled. But brother, we're not going to pick feathers, but we're going to ruffle them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to be saved. There are too many people in this church right now who will go to hell when they die right now. There are too many people here who are not born again. They think they are, but they're not yet. And God knows, and some of you know, and you know yourself personally. Hallelujah. I'm not here, nice religious servant of Pine Bluff. I am here to help you get ready to become a sheep of God. Hallelujah. We're speaking of ownership. You see, the Lord has sheep, and the sheep belong in the sheep pen or in the place where they keep the sheep. Hallelujah. They have a place for the sheep. Hallelujah. But that is all right. There is a place for the sheep. But the Lord also has a place for other people. There are sheep and there are goats. And the sheep go in the sheepfold and the goats go to the barbecue pit. Hello? Now we may be able to dehorn you a little bit, but that's not really changing your attitude. If you're a goat, you're bucking. You're always trying to buck it. You're bucking the preacher. You're bucking the pastor. You're bucking the Acts 2:38 message. For how long now was it? Hallelujah. You've been bucking these, but now we may be able to dehorn you by the message, but that doesn't change your attitude. Hallelujah. You may be a little bit less dangerous to us, but you're still a goat. Hallelujah. You need a change of heart. You need to be born again. And a goat is not a sheep. Hallelujah. You say, I'm just as near to God as I am. Yes, you are, but on the left side of Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir, you're just as close, but you're on the left side of it. Hallelujah. So I want you to know, I want you to examine yourself whether you be in the faith this morning. Are you a sheep of God? Hallelujah. Don't feel that you, don't go like this, see that you have knocks here and there. I want you to know, is your heart willing to obey the minister? Is your heart willing to be baptized in the name of Jesus? Is your heart willing to repent before you get in the water? Are you willing to confess your sins, lady? Are you willing, gentlemen, to come out of your pew and say, I am a rotten, no good sinner? Do you have that kind of courage? Are you not much of a man to say, I am a sinner, and I'm not ashamed to admit it? That's what it ought to be. Ladies and gentlemen, if you get mad at me because I call you a sinner, that's the only way we know you are one. Hallelujah. Because you react the way you are. Thank you, Jesus. And a sheep loves the shepherd. It follows the shepherd. In Europe, where I come from, and don't hold that against me, but I don't hold it against you. You born in Arkansas either. Hallelujah. I'll put up with this too. Hallelujah. Because it doesn't matter where you're from, it's where you're heading for. Thank you, Jesus. And if you come from the south, you got a long ways to go to the north, aren't you? Hallelujah. So I want you to be double good to that this morning because you need God. The Lord is my shepherd. Speaking of ownership, it speaks of disposition. A sheep has a disposition that loves others. A sheep loves the flock. A sheep loves to come together. You never see a sheep wandering. It's a healthy sheep. He's always somewhere with the rest of the flock. And they rub in the wool once in a while. We all know that. But a sheep is a strange animal. I want you to notice that. I'm from Idaho, and we have a lot of sheep ranches up there. And one day I saw something strange, brother. There was a sheep running up the hill, and while the others were just going on, he tripped himself. He tripped, and he fell. And he fell with his legs up. And do you know that little animal began to bad, a bad, a bad, a bad. He began to scream and yell. He lay there with his legs up and yelling and screaming for all he was worth. I saw the shepherd walking up to him and said a few words which Webster don't have. And they were there. I could hear them quite clear. And I knew what they meant. Hallelujah. I used to be in the world myself. And he will walk up to that sheep, and he grabbed him by one of the legs. He rolled him over one half a turn, and that thing got on his feet and walked away, and he shook his head. That sheep had not enough sense to get up when he fell. And that's exactly the way you and I are. We don't have enough sense to get up when we fall. Hallelujah. Do you know that, sister? Ladies and gentlemen, do you know you don't have enough sense in yourself to get saved when this God comes on the scene? Do you realize that? The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Now, if you go astray like a dog, you will be a wild dog in no time and make yourself a living somewhere. Then you be in kitten and a cat, you'll turn wild in some time and you'll be all right. You take a domestic pig loose in these places around here, especially Louisiana, they got plenty of them. They just go in and they turn wild. They never perish. You let a horse loose, and he'll be wild in no time. We have several thousand horses loose in Idaho, the wild horses yet. So, but when you let a sheep loose, it'll perish. It can't survive. That's the truth. That's why the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We get astray like any other animal, but we don't have enough sense to survive. And that's why the soul that sin it shall perish. There it is. We'll perish because we don't have it in us to make it all the way without help. You too. You don't have enough goodness in you to make it halfway between here and heaven. The Bible says all the elect sheep have gone astray. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you need to. Are you listening now? You need to repent from your sins. Then you need to be baptized, immersed, in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I heard that long ago. Well, why don't you obey it then? Right. Hallelujah. Be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost anyway. And you be baptized in that name for the remission of those sins you just confessed. Then you come out of the water clean. Then the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you will be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you have eternal life. It's as simple as 1, 2, and 3. But no, we have some knuckleheads that never get it through the skull. They just feel, I don't need to do this. I'm just as good without it. I'm just so-and-so, and I don't think I need all this. You just go ahead and wait. till you come before the throne of God. It's too late then to make a change. There won't be no altar benches at the white throne judgment. There won't be a prayer room. There won't be an altar call. There won't be any preacher to help you. There won't be not even the devil to blame. He's already in the lake of fire. So this morning I urge you, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not already submit yourself to the truth that you're born in sin, now why don't you get ready today?
Hallelujah.
You say, but I don't do this such and such a thing. I'm not telling you what you did. I'm telling you what you are. Your salvation, or your damnation rather, is not a matter of what you do. It's what you are. You are born in iniquity. You're born sinful. Your nature is wrong. You're not a sinner because you do bad things, but you do bad things because you're a sinner. You're born wrong. That's why you do things wrong. That's why you don't like what I'm saying right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All the saints say amen. That's why you always find how many saints you got. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the Lord is my shepherd. And when the Lord is your shepherd, I want you to notice something. It said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I'm nervous like a kitten with nine tails in a room full of rocking chairs. Huh? I'm so nervous. I'm the Lord's sheep, and I'm nervous. I'm the Lord's sheep, and I'm panicking. I'm the Lord's sheep, and I'm fretting. Is that what it said there? No, it doesn't say that at all. It says, I am the sheep of the Lord, and the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not come short of anything.
Glory.
Woo! Glory, hallelujah. That's a big statement, brother. That's a big one. But it holds water. If the Lord is your shepherd, He goes ahead of the flock. In Europe, they go behind the flock. They walk behind them. But not in Palestine where it is taken from. The shepherd goes ahead of the flock. And wherever the sheep needs to go, the shepherd had already been there. That makes it beautiful. If you need to come across a sickness, the Lord already has been there. For He carried our diseases and bore our sicknesses. Hallelujah. He is already there, sister. He was already ahead of you. And when you get to the point, you find it already covered by the blood of Jesus. Oh, what a beauty. Hallelujah. Young people, when you have an oppressive spirit coming to you that tried to rob you of your joy and rob you of God's salvation, which you cannot and you don't want to, you know, you all have to remember that when you were tempted, Jesus was already tempted a long time ahead of you, and He came out scot-free. He came out beautiful because He went always back to the Word. He never said, well, I think it's that way, and I believe it's that way. No, always Jesus, when He was tempted by Satan, He went back to the Bible, the Word they had then. He said, it is written. And brother, when you are in misery this morning, in pain, or in doubt, or maybe your marriage is about to blow to splinters, or maybe your boyfriend is about to give you the boot, or maybe your girlfriend is mad at you, and you have nothing, and you're not the guilty one. Now listen. You are the guilty one. You better straighten that out. But if you're not, it's just a misunderstanding. I want you to know the devil likes to cause trouble. And I want you to say in yourself this afternoon, Lord Jesus, it is written that you will overcome and help me to overcome. And I rebuke this thing between him and her, him and me, and it's going to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can do it. You can do it. You ought not to get out of here feeling miserable or nervous or whatever problem you may have, or even angry. There ought to be something there that tells you that the Bible is right. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You don't have to have a pain. You don't have to have a misery. You don't have to have it because the Lord says, I shall give you the desires of your heart. If you believe that, you got to believe it. You got to believe and obey Him. The Bible always makes plain that you have to obey Him. There are always conditions involved. You have to confess. Repent. That's a condition for salvation. God's not going to do it for you. The pastor's not going to do it for you. The evangelist isn't going to waste time on that. You have to repent yourself. There is your part. And then the pastor's part and then God's part. Hallelujah. All works together. Of course, all over it's God's part to start with. You know that. Because He's the author and finisher of our faith. But there is something that you just need to do. The Lord is my shepherd,
I shall not want. That speaks of faith in the shepherd. That speaks of faith in the shepherd.
You must believe
the Lord Jesus and have faith in Him that whatever problem you have, maybe out of work and you can't find a job, you can claim God's power over this, and you're to say, the Lord Jesus, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not come short of employment. I rebuke this thing, and I want you to show me where I can go and make a living. God will do it, or else Psalm 23 is a lot of hogwash. There is the Bible right there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You don't have to have tranquilizers no more. All you have to have is the Prince of Peace in you, and there will be no more problem. Hallelujah. Oh, brother and sister, and we will only remember that the Lord says, lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the age. That's what He said. Hallelujah. Even unto the end of our lives and beyond that. Hallelujah. He is with us, yea, even more now, as we hear in the teaching of our brethren. The Lord is in us. The Christ in us. The hope of glory. Hallelujah. And the Lord knows that you are unhappy. Or the Lord knows that you are in trouble or nervous or whatever problem you have. But the Lord is the only one that can help you this morning if you let Him. Oh, if you only let Him this morning. While you sit in the pew and you're thinking about your needs and you're thinking about the lack of something and you're thinking about the lack of... I want you to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not come short of that. I shall have it when due time comes.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Jesus. Our elder brother there, our brother there is waiting for revivals to open up. This brother right here is waiting for revivals to open up. Are we going to panic? Are we going to get worried? Are we going to get nervous? Are we going to lay away at night? No! And oh no! The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I shall not want. No, you may want more than you need. That's different. I shall not want. And it said, I want you to see how beautiful it is. If the Lord is that way and He makes me quiet like that, what does He do? He makes me to lie down in the green stuff. He makes me to lie down in the green stuff. Isn't that beautiful? That's what He said. He said, Allah makes me to lie down in green pastures. Don't look like Baptist people to me this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, be Pentecostal this morning. Hallelujah. I'm not against these poor people, but they never say amen because they're not used to. But you folk ought to say amen once in a while. How many are Pentecostal this morning here? Well, let me hear you. Amen. Let me hear it no more. That didn't want to hear it all the time. Hallelujah. The Lord says that He will make me lie down. Brother, there ought to be 6 foot of it for me then. Hallelujah. Amen, brother. God bless. There ought to be at least 6 foot for you and about three feet wide there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There ought to be plenty for all of us. For the most, our roly-poly saint that God has, there's plenty of green stuff. You know that? He said He wants you to lay down. Picture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He wants you to lay down in it. That means relax. Relax in all He's got for you. He will not withhold any good thing from them that fear Him. Oh, so often we come short of finances, we say. Yes, we have sometimes less than we want to. But I'm asking you folks, I have just a question. Because I'm not asked to do it, and I don't know if he asked not to do it. But let me ask you something. If you want financial prosperity, don't you think you ought to tithe? Don't you think you ought to tithe, young people, from your babysitting jobs that you're getting? Oh, whatever kind of job you're doing on the side paper route. And you brothers and sisters and men and women, don't you think you ought to give God number one choice? And then you find out, because that's the trait of a shepherd. And that's the trait of a sheep, that you obey the Lord in submission. Because a sheep is submissive to his shepherd. Amen. If you don't pay tithes, don't tell me God's going to bless you. He won't. Oh, for a little bit, He likes you to go on and learn a lesson. But then one of the days, the bottom to drop out of your life. So let me say that. I'm not asked to say it, and I'm not asked not to say it, so I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. And I'm not making for myself. I don't take tithes. I take offerings.
The bigger the better. Hallelujah. But I'm not taking tithes. So I'm not talking about myself. So if you want to know what's bugging you in your finances, why don't you sit down and see whether you have missed God? Hello? What are the amens now I'm talking about? Oh, boy. But you heard it anyhow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The reason is that we don't give God first place in our lives, that He don't want to be second place. He's not even on the scene. Hallelujah. He's not even there. No wonder we don't have anything we want. Folks, God wants to be number one. He makes me to lie down.
Hallelujah.
And that means contentment. That means rest. That means when everybody is rushing about and get nervous and upset and take a pill to sleep and a pill to stay awake and a pill not to have and a pill to do have and a pill to go and a pill to stay and a pill to condition. All right, you go ahead and have them. But I want you to know my Lord is my shepherd and I can lay down in the green stuff while you threaten your life away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Oh, you say, that doesn't mean money. Maybe it doesn't for you. But for me, it does too. Because the Bible says, I wish above all things that thou prosper. Prosper, I said. And be in health as thy soul prospers. Hallelujah. Yes, there is a connection between your physical welfare, your financial status, and your spiritual contact with God. There is a close relationship, brother, that you haven't found it. That's the reason why you're having other things don't even. Hallelujah. There is the catch. When you put God first, and let God be number one, and then a lot of nothing, and then God again, and then maybe you somewhere there, then you find God to be all-sufficient in all things, all times. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. What kind of pastures? His pastures. He said, we are the sheep of His pasture. You don't like the grass to be green here. You go to go somewhere else downtown. Somewhere else. You want to have the grass greener there. I did it myself sometime. Look for a place to park, a place to camp, brother. I said, oh, look at that. That's about greener than here. By the time I got there, I just looked at the surface and saw the top of the green. When I got there, there were holes and pitfalls in there. I wasn't even half as nice as where I was. So don't always think the grass is greener somewhere else. Because when you're losing the relationship with God and you're moving out of His pasture, the grass will not be as green as you think it was there. It's different. You have to learn to stay in His pasture. Well, yeah, a lot of people, I know a lot of people think differently, and they have a lot of things. There's a lot of ways to go to heaven, they say. There's a lot of ways, I go to the church at my choice. You don't have a choice, that brother said. I believe it, amen. There is no such thing as a church of your choice. There's only one church, and that's church of God's choice. God's choice. And if you're not in that church, you're not in church at all. You're in someone else's pasture. You have trespassed. You don't belong there anyway. Hallelujah. Get out of there. You may take pot shots at you. Hallelujah. Go back to your own pasture and quit running fences down. Hallelujah. Quit jumping fences. Quit sitting on top of some of them. Hallelujah. You go to one church on Sunday morning and another one on Sunday night and a Wednesday morning somewhere else and Wednesday night and you're just one of them butterflies going around, butterfly from one little flower to the other, sucking the nectar here, sucking the nectar there, sucking the nectar here, and then all you do is lay an egg and what we got? Caterpillars. That's what you're doing when you're not spiritual and you go from place to place. All that you do is like a little old butterfly laying his eggs on the cabbage and what we got? Bad cabbage and a caterpillar. And unless the caterpillar has a transformation, there'll never be anything else but the caterpillar. But when you are a bee, you go from flower to flower, you suck what you can, but you come back to the hive and make some honey. Honey, you're making some honey. If you're in the right hive, you're going to have some honey. Hallelujah. A lot of folks, they don't know this, they go from place to place, from pillar to post, from Pontius to Pilate, and they wonder why they never had anything from God, because you're not long enough to know what it is to make honey.
That's all right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Faithfulness is what God wants. And then, let me go on for time's sake. He leads me. He leadeth me. He doesn't drag you. He doesn't kick you. He doesn't stomp you. He doesn't force you. Oh, I like this message this morning. It's a Sunday school lesson. I like that. He doesn't force you, brother, sir. But He leads you up to it. And the Bible says He leads us besides. Not in. Thank God, not in.
Yes, some people walk in the water, you can't drink it no more.
Hallelujah. You got to stay out of there. Hallelujah.
You have to lead beside still waters.
Hey, have you ever thought about why it's still water? Why not the rushing waterfall and rapids and thundering waterfalls? Why doesn't the Lord lead us there? Why does He lead us through still waters? I tell you something. When you have laying there and talking about the gifts of God and all this and all that, the Lord has a lesson for you. He leads you beside water that hasn't got a ripple on it. And that water is so smooth like a mirror. And He wants you to get down there and try to take a sip. And when you bow your head to take a drink, what do you see? The real you. It works like a mirror. And that's why God leads you after the green stuff and after the powerful promises. He leads you to the still waters so you get a good look at yourself. We need to have that, brothers and sisters. We look at the other UPC churches. We look at the AMF churches, the ABC churches, the BAB churches, and all kinds of churches. See, all kinds of churches. But God wants you to look at your own ugly self. And still waters will just do that. So before you drink and slurp and say, I've got enough, I want you to stop and look and let that reflection talk to you for a moment. You want to know what you really are, then let the Lord lead you to a still water. Take a moment in your life to be all by yourself, you and God, and tell God, tell me what I really am. Tell me what I really am in your sight. Not what my relatives think. Or if I compare myself with sister so-and-so, I'm doing pretty good. If I compare myself with brother so-and-so, I'd come out pretty nice. But why don't you let God speak to you and tell you what you really are? You'd be so ashamed. You'd be so ashamed, you won't even talk about yourself no more. And you don't feel so hard against that other brother who's not up to par as you think he should be. And you're not so cantankerous about that sister that isn't measuring up either according to your holy standard. Because you take a look at your own self, it works like a 6-foot mirror. You look right in that water and brother, you say, is that me? Yeah, that's the one God has been putting up with so long. Don't you think it's time for you to go back there and get on your knees before you drink and say, oh God, I'm not worthy of your promises? Isn't it time that you say, God, I'm not worthy to be healed? I'm not worthy to be saved? I'm not worthy to be a teacher? I'm not worthy to be a helper? I'm not worthy to talk in tongues? I'm not worthy to be saved? I'm not even worthy to be called a sheep? Once in a while, we've got to go there, folks. Some of us more often than others, but we've got to go there. A lot of folks like to talk about brag about this thing. That's fine, I did too. But I'm not standing there. I'm getting out of the green stuff and walk towards the water. And I want to see my true self. And the reason that some of you folks never talk in tongues, let me say this, or maybe you did once and never do again, and I don't think it's right, because the Holy Ghost is a fountain that ought to spring up into eternal life. Not just 3 months and then stopping, or 2 weeks and no more. I believe it's a river, and as long as the river is flowing, it's a river. If the river stops, it's not a bit backwater, it's a slough, a slimy backwater somewhere. It's not doing the job. And the reason that some of you folks are not talking in tongues like you ought to, or some of you folks never had it, is because you've never gone to the still water and take a good look at that ugly one you see right there that God is trying to change. It's about time you take time out and look at yourself. You compare yourself with others, you're coming out fine, I hope. But that's not what we're after. We have to be led by still waters. Oh, hallelujah. Still waters. It makes me quiet. It makes me remember from what kind of pit God dug me. It begins to remember where I was when God found me. You know, when you do this, you become soft. As a matter of fact, you're going to be miserable for a moment. You're going to find yourself unworthy of all the things you thought you ought to have by this time. Huh? You wondered, didn't God give me the gift of something? I'm a talented. I know how to talk. Oh, I had the gift of... Yeah, you had the gift of gab. But listen, God is trying to humble you enough so God can use you for the gift of the Spirit. God doesn't use proud people in church. You notice that. He never uses proud people. If he says something, it's not God. Proud people are not used by God. He said the gifts of grace are the gift of God are the gifts of grace. And in Romans, the gift of grace. And God gives grace to the humble.
So you want to be used by the gifts of God? Then be more humble. Be more humble. Be more lower. Be more submissive. Be not so proud. Don't always think you're right. Don't always think, oh, you better be picked out special and be asked, oh, I'm glad Sister so-and-so is here. Well, so what? Well, a lot of people were glad we're here too. Why always pick on 2, 3, 4? Hallelujah. I'm glad everybody is here. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of folk make so much of somebody coming in. Folks, I'm not talking about, I don't care what you do here, but let me say something. God don't want proud people. God can't stomach them. If you need to be acknowledged all the time, like old Ed Sullivan with a silver plate in his jaw, years ago, used to watch him on television when I was a sinner. He would come up to him with his old silver face. He would say, take a bow. Somebody kept saying, yes, now. If he didn't do it, everybody was mad and he would never see him back in the show. God help us. We're not Hollywood stars. God, we don't need to be acknowledged all the time. Hallelujah! I say, praise the Lord! Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to help you this morning. God, help you. Hallelujah. Let me help you. Thank you. Let me say a few words to you. You already mad at me? Brother, I haven't even started. My Lord, thank you, Jesus. How many like the Word of God this morning? I like that. Hallelujah. He leads me beside still waters. And then you come out kind of down. You come out a little more, less inflated. You come out of that a little bit less harsh, less self-righteous. You come out of that less more willing to give the other man a chance to be right also. But then what? What will God do then? Let me rush a little through it for time's sake. But you say, well, now, see what you really are? See what you are now? You see now? Oh, no. God never kicks anybody that's down. He said, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He'll come to you and say, listen now, that's all what I want you to do. To remember what you are. No, that's fine. You know what you are now? No, never forget this. Now look what I am. And then you go back there and you wave at him and you shout again. And you're ready to walk the road. You're ready to be led. You're ready to go on. Well, in the treadmill, like a squirrel in a cage, like Samson or like a blind mule in the sawmill? No, sir. He said, He leads me in paths. Paths. More than one. It's an exciting backpacking trip, folks. He leads you in paths of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah, folks. Hear the beautiful? He leaded us in the paths of righteousness. Brother, this Christian life is not a treadmill. The Christian life is not a rigmarole kind of routine. If it is, it's wrong. We ought not to have services that are all alike. We ought not to have services that are copycats from the first one or last one. We ought to have different services all the time. Something ought to happen. Something ought to come up there. There ought to be somebody with a testimony they never had. There ought to have somebody with a praise they never had. There ought to be something happen that never happened in the church. We ought to be in an exciting place. We ought not to be in a squirrel cage. We ought to have paths of righteousness.
Amen.
Oh, the life of Christ and the life of the Christian is exciting. Right. Hallelujah. Not dull and monotonous. That's not the way of a Christian. That's religion.
That's right.
But the Christ life is so beautiful. You never know what happened next. Hallelujah. The Lord loves surprises. He drives into the Red Sea and they all got this about. They got panic. He said, no, boy, I got something else for you. He said, how? Shall we build a bridge? No. The Lord said, that's too common. Everybody can build a bridge. Just hold that old stick over there, over the Red Sea. Just hold that old stick and say, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
God loves to surprise people with things.
And sometimes He drives you in the corner in order to let you know how great the room is. Oh, hallelujah, brother. If you sit in the middle of it, you only see half of it. But you go back in the far corner, you see the whole thing. Brother, it looks big. And sometimes God drives us in the corner, not to leave you there, but to show you how big He is. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Don't think God don't love you when things come that are not actually right. You say, God, help me to see the corner, and from the corner, let me light my candle so I brighten my corner where I are and I am. And then I shine like a light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For whose sake? Your sake? Does He do it for your salvation's sake? No, sister. He does it for His sake. Now, there's a secret there. The Lord invests His name in you. See that? He's an investor. Now, He invests His name in you when He called you His child.
This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He ought to say from all of us, or daughter. Now, when you let in the paths of righteousness, he does it for his name's sake. Why? His name is at stake, not yours. His. His name is at stake. Now, that's why he leads you there. A lot of people, they think God leads you there for your salvation's sake. No, no. He leads you there for his name's sake. He has invested his name in you. And we should be sure that we don't accuse the Lord of a bad investment. Hello? God invests his name in us. That's why it's so important to live right, because his name is at stake. When you go wrong, it's not the church, it's not the pastor, it's not the denomination, it's not your salvation, it's the name of Jesus that's at stake. And that's why he wants you to live righteous. Are you listening, boys and girls? Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening to me?
Yes,
amen. Hallelujah. Come on in. We come in the 11th hour, like the Bible said. Well, you're still on time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen. The Lord invests his name in you when he makes you his child. Now, for that reason, I don't want you to go and accuse the Lord of a bad investment.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening? There is a power there that if you avail yourself of that, there is no need to worry. There is no need to fret. There is no need to be scared for the future, because the Lord's name is on you and he is a good investor. He makes sure there will nothing be there from his side that will it mar his investment name. Hallelujah. You had the investors, the bankers in New York, the 3, 4, 5 names, you know, Merrill Lynch and the big ones, and you know, all these, and Goldstein and all that. And they make sure that they don't invest their money in bad stock, because it reflects on their business and they go down on it. They cannot afford to take a risk. And that's why the Lord, when he gives you his name, he is not taking a risk. He's taking an investment, and you better remember you ought to live up, because you bring his business at stake when you're not living right. Hello now. That's a total different concept that many people have. God is the investor, and his name is over your door, and God wants you to live so that you don't bring a reproach to his business. So often, we say, well, I don't want to bring a reproach on myself and the church. No, it's a reproach on God Almighty.
Oh, God. Right.
It's a reproach on God Almighty. So you don't obey the pastor in his ways of preaching. You say, well, I don't like it, but I don't believe like Brother Rutledge does. I have a little... That's wrong, sister. That's not right, brother. You are bringing not a reproach on Brother Rutledge, but you bring a reproach on Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Some of you will wonder that I'm talking English. I am, the best I know how. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So often, we make up our own mind. You say, and young and old people have the same problem. Yeah, I'm not convicted. Oh, stupid. You don't need to be convicted. When you call by God, that a man tells you what's wrong or right, you shut up and obey him. It's not for you to make up your mind. If everybody does what he pleases, we don't need your ministry.
Right.
Now you can live what you want to. But the Bible says there is a hand of God stretched out over the church, and the hand has a thumb, which is apostolic ministry. That's the thing that grips things. Then there is the finger of God that's in the prophetic ministry that straightens you right out and hits you right between your pretty blue eyes and tell you exactly where you're wrong. That's the God's finger. Hallelujah. That's the finger that shakes over you and said, woe unto you unless you so and so. That's the ministry of the apostolic, the prophetic ministry. Then comes the evangelistic ministry, which is a ministry of power and excitement and a lot of other things, perhaps. I don't want to talk a lot of it, because you may think I talk about myself, but I like the power ministry. And then there is the pastoral ministry. This is the day-to-day, daily, after the sheep, and daily looking at you from day to morning, from morning to night, from night to morning, and always looking, and try to hold you in the pen. Then there is the teaching ministry, that those who are assembled in one accord, then they become teachable, and you can tell them something. Oh, beautiful. Say praise God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.